All right. Good evening, everybody. It's the verdict on the pasta and salad. Good. Good. Yeah. Yeah. All right. Sounds good. Hey, let's pray as we get started. All right, Father, thank you. Oh, man. Oh, so much to thank you for, but just to be here with fellow believers, singing, worshiping your name, learning more about you, what a great opportunity. We thank you for this moment in time. And we thank you for who you are. We love you very much. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, well, tonight, as Justin said, we're continuing in Abide, and essentially what we're doing on Wednesday nights, if you weren't here last week, what we're doing is we're going through Hebrews 11. They call it the Hall of Faith. And you see, really, abiding, connecting, staying with God in the Old Testament. The writer of Hebrews just goes back and says, by faith, by faith, by faith. And there's like 17 of those. And what we're going to do is each week, we're just going to kind of break down each one of those. All right. And so last week, essentially, we just took the first one and we talked about by faith, we recognized that what was unseen created what was seen. We talked a lot about creation. This week, we're going to get into verse 4. It says this. By faith, Abel brought God a better offering than Cain did. By faith, he was commended as righteous when God spoke well of his offerings. And by faith, Abel still speaks, even though he is dead. Now, let's go back to Genesis chapter 4 and read where the story of Cain and Abel is found. You can start in verse 1 here. But as you're turning there, let me just kind of get you caught up. In Genesis 3, this is the fall of man. And essentially, the first thing is not really an outward sin. Really, the first issue was not holding on to and believing the words of God. You know, the enemy comes along and he's crafty and he goes, did God really say? And because they weren't holding on to the words of God, that's when they were in trouble. And that's when sin can creep into our lives. In fact, that's what happens, right? And that's why in John 15, where we're sitting on Sundays, Jesus says, abide in my words. Why? Stay there. Remain in them. Sit with them. Meditate on those. Philippians 4:8, dwell in what is true and good. Sit there. Dwell in his words. And that's how we fight against sin. So, because of sin, there's a separation between God and man. And yet, God is still so gracious. He still clothes them and allows them to experience his great gifts. So, in chapter 4, verse 1, says this, Adam made love to his wife Eve, and she became pregnant and gave birth to Cain. Two wonderful gifts that God has given us there. She said, with the help of the Lord, I have brought forth a man. Later, she gave birth to his brother Abel. Now, Abel kept flocks, and Cain worked the soil. In the course of time, Cain brought some of the fruits of the soil as an offering to the Lord. And Abel also brought an offering, fat portions from some of the firstborn of his flock. The Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering, but on Cain and his offering he did not look with favor. So Cain was very angry, and his face was downcast. Then the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must rule over it. Now Cain said to his brother Abel, let's go out to the field. While they were in the field, Cain attacked his brother Abel and killed him. Then the Lord said to Cain, where is your brother Abel? I don't know, he replied. Am I my brother's keeper? The Lord said, what have you done? Listen, your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. Now you are under a curse and driven from the ground, which opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you work on the ground, it will no longer yield its crops for you. You will be a restless wanderer on the earth. Cain said to the Lord, my punishment is more than I can bear. Today you are driving me from the land, and I will be hidden from your presence. I will be a restless wanderer on the earth, and whoever finds me will kill me. But the Lord said to him, not so. Anyone who kills Cain will suffer vengeance seven times over. Then the Lord put a mark on Cain so that no one who found him would kill him. So Cain went out from the Lord's presence and lived in the land of Nod, east of Eden. Okay, so there you have it again at the very end. Cain deserved death for what he had done, but God puts a mark on Cain so that no one would kill him. Now let's go back to Hebrews 11, verse 4. It says, by faith, Abel brought God a better offering than Cain did. Now this is why getting a full picture of all the scriptures is crucial. Because if you don't, then if you just read Genesis 4, you'll be tempted to think that it's the actual offering that is better and that God approves of. But it's not. It's actually before that. What does he say? He says, by faith. So it's the heart of faith that actually distinguishes the two, not the actual offerings. That's critical for us to understand. It's the heart. It's the heart. It's the heart. That's why I keep saying Christianity is an inside-out religion. It's a religion of the heart. See, Abel's offering here was first and best. It was the fat portions from that firstborn flock. But for Cain, after the fruit was born, it was almost like, all right, it's time to give an offering. Oh yeah, that's right, I forgot about it. And like plucks a couple of berries and brings them to God. That's essentially what it's like. It's kind of like if a kid gets a lollipop and licks it and doesn't like it, and then they hand it to you, and you're like you don't say thank you because it's not really a meaningful gift, is it? It was, this doesn't really mean anything to me, here you go. But if a kid gave you their best toy, you would say, what? Man, there's meaning attached to that. You really care about me to give me this toy, right? That's the point here. It's by faith. It's the heart. It's the position of the heart. For Cain, there was no meaning attached to this offering. And by the way, I mean, don't you just find it crazy that even after killing his brother Abel, he's still just thinking about himself? I mean, look at his response. Listen to all the me's and my's and I's. My punishment is more than I can bear. Today, you are driving me from the land, and I will be hidden from your presence. I will be a restless wanderer on the earth, and whoever finds me will kill me. See that difference? Abel is thinking first and foremost about God. God is on his mind and on his heart, and he has confidence in him. Cain, on the other hand, has confidence in himself. And you guys know, the best gifts are ones with a lot of meaning attached to it. You ever had that gift? Think about the best gift you've ever gotten. Doesn't it usually have a lot of depth of meaning attached to it? On our wedding day, Morgan got me a wedding gift, and I didn't get her anything, actually. I didn't realize. I mean, who knows? Is it common to get somebody a gift on the wedding? Who knows? Okay. It's not. I feel a lot better about it because I was thinking, look, I got you a ring, and I said, I'm going to live the rest of my life with you. That's gift enough, right? But her, on the other hand, she had a much nicer approach to the whole thing. She got me this big binder, and it had like all the letters that we had, you know, written to each other and stuff when we were dating, and like stuff from our dates and different things. And so when I looked at it, I was like, wow, to think about the time, the energy, the effort, the thoughts, the heart behind that, I was like, man, this woman really loves me deeply. There's meaning attached to it. On the flip side, around the same time, about a few months later, I don't know why I'm just gonna share it anyway. Okay. And this is bad on me, on my part, but my sister had a birthday a few months later, and we were meeting at Cracker Barrel. And I forgot all about it, and until the point where somebody texted and said, hey, where are you? And I was like, oh yeah, it's my sister's birthday, we got to get there. And so I hadn't gotten her a gift or anything, I was 20 minutes late, and I knew I had to get her a gift, so you know that Cracker Barrel gift shop right there? Had to get her a gift, so, you know, I got like this, like oven mitt or something like that, and so sure enough, she opens it up, and she's like, did you buy this just now? And I didn't really catch it at first. I was like, yeah, I did. You're welcome. What about it? You know, kind of attitude. It wasn't very meaningful to her, was it? I had forgotten about her. That's kind of what Cain did, really. I mean, it's like, okay, time to give an offering to God. Let me just pluck some blueberries here and do it. But what does Abel do on the other hand? Firstborn flock, the fat portions from it. He says, here you go, God. I think the kind of gifts that we offer up to God really do reveal our hearts towards God, don't they? Our time, our energy, our effort, our resources, whatever it is that we're giving to Him really indicates our heart towards Him. And that's kind of a sobering reality to look at. Where is your heart towards Him? It doesn't have to be the finest gifts. It just has to have deep meaning. One time one of my daughters made me a birthday cookie and it had like gummy worms and mint chocolate chips and Reese cups and everything, and it didn't taste very good, but it was a wonderful gift because there was meaning attached to it. There was time, there was energy, there was effort. I knew she cared about me because she took the time to do that. That's the point here. God looks at the heart. See, you can't give a good enough offering to get in good with God, but your level of sacrifice does reveal your level of faith in God, how much you appreciate Him. Jesus explains this in Luke chapter 21, verses 1 through 3. He says, as Jesus looked up, He saw the rich putting their gifts into the temple treasury. He also saw a poor widow put in two very small copper coins. Truly, I tell you, He said, this poor widow has put in more than all the others. All these people gave their gifts out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in all she had to live on. Now, don't get sidetracked here. I'm not saying go rush and empty your bank account in those baskets on your way out. It's not what I'm saying, and that's not what Jesus was saying. What He is saying, though, and this is crucial, He's saying He doesn't really appreciate it that you do what you kind of want and do what you feel like you need to do with your money, and then with what's left over, just throw a little bit in for Him. What He is saying is He wants primarily, first and foremost, and all throughout all of our resources and time and energy to operate from the kingdom of God. First and foremost, that's the crucial thing. He wants all of our heart. And so, of course, when it comes to our offerings and our resources and our time and our energy and all those things, He wants to be involved in those things. That's the whole point here. Just like anything else in our lives, are we operating from the kingdom of God, or is it our own kingdom first? Look out for number one, and then God gets some of the extras. God wants to be involved in everything that we do. And that's not just finances, that's not just resources, that is everything. See, this woman, she said, everything I have, God, is yours. She didn't know the outcome. She's just relying on God and trusting on God and wants Him involved in everything. This is the same thing that Abel is doing here. I mean, do you think really that God needed the fat portions? You think He was like, yes, this completes my set. I needed that. No, of course not. But He wanted Cain's heart. Just like in Luke 19, the story of Zacchaeus demonstrates evidence of this major heart change. You see him, he's taking advantage of people all the time, you know, and he encounters Jesus, and he goes, look, anybody that I've wronged, I'm going to pay back four times the amount, and I'm going to give half I own to the poor right now. And what's he saying? What's Jesus saying in that story? He's not saying that that act is what saved Zacchaeus. What he is saying is the change in his heart, the by faith, putting his faith in Jesus, is what produced the action for him to go and take that step. A crucial difference. That's why when you go to Hebrews 11, it's this by faith, by faith, by faith. Because what happens is you end up with this funky theology, this legalistic theology, if you start saying it is the outward act, it is this great sacrifice that somehow is going to get you in good with God. It just doesn't work that way. It's by faith. It's the heart. As we said on Sunday a couple weeks ago, Isaiah said, your good works like filthy rags. It amounts to nothing to Him. It's the heart. It's the by faith. It's in Him. Galatians 5, starting in verse 1. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Mark my words. I, Paul, tell you that if you let yourselves be circumcised, Christ will be of no value to you at all. Again, I declare to every man who lets himself be circumcised that he is obligated to obey the whole law. Now stop right here for a second. Think of circumcision here as, in essence, thinking that there's something that you can do to get in good with God. That's how they were thinking off of chapters like Genesis 17 and Exodus 12 and Joshua 5. They interpreted that as this is what you have to do to get in a good place with God. See, what Paul's saying is, It's not about our doing. It's putting our faith in his doing that we couldn't do. It's crucial. Verse 4. You who are trying to be justified by the law have been alienated from Christ. You have fallen away from grace. Why? Because it has to be either the works of the law or grace. It can't be both. It can't be Jesus and. You can't be saved by the grace of Jesus and also, like, add to that somehow. You know, you can't be like, Jesus, that thing you did on the cross, you almost got there. Let me help you. Can't do that. It is either finished work, his grace, or it is something that we contribute to our own salvation. That's what Paul's saying here. It's got to be one or the other. Verse 5, for through the Spirit we eagerly await by faith the righteousness for which we hope. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. You see that? So, go back to Hebrews 11. You see the same theme. He says, by faith, he was commended as righteous when God spoke well of his offerings. So it's not his offerings, it's the by faith producing the offerings. Compare that to Galatians 5:5 we just read. We eagerly await by faith the righteousness for which we hope. It was faith that led Abel into righteousness. Romans 1:5 says that obedience itself comes from faith. It's faith, it's faith, it's faith. If you have faith, Galatians 5:5 tells us that righteousness will come. Cain did not have faith. Abel did have faith. It's really that simple. And now the verse concludes with, and by faith, Abel still speaks, even though he is dead. Now, I read that earlier in the week, and I got to be honest, I was like, I don't know what that means. So I looked it up, and it's ironic because Abel has no record of actually speaking. We have no record that Abel ever spoke. So how is it that he is still speaking today? Well, essentially, what he's saying here is this example, this influence of really what it looks like to operate your entire lives first and foremost from the kingdom of God. The writer is saying that example is still set before you. And I love actually how he says that in this verse, because what he's saying to the readers is he's saying essentially, this example still stands today. What are you going to do with it? And I think that's the question for us here tonight too, is this example still stands. What are we going to do with it? I mean, are we truly operating everything from the kingdom of God, or are we just saying, God, take a few of the leftovers? And if the latter is the case, what I don't want you to do is leave here and just try harder and muster it up, although I will concede that obedience is a good placeholder until faith comes. But ultimately, what Jesus wants for us is a complete change of the heart to say, God, I really do want to put my confidence, my total confidence that I can operate my whole life from your kingdom and know that that's a perfectly safe place to be and everything will be okay. Even when I don't see the outcome, even when I don't see how it's going to work out. I just trust you. That's what faith is. It's confidence. That's what this woman did. That's what Abel did. He said, first and foremost, I trust you, not my own understanding. I trust you. So I'm going to come and I'm going to bring, everything is yours, God. And that's the question. And that's what Jesus loves. You read so many stories in the New Testament. He's like, man, look at this faith. I mean, this person just puts their confidence at their deepest core convictions. They're confident in me. And he's like, yes, that's what I'm talking about. And I think that's a question for us. Abel is mentioned one more time. And it's the next chapter, Hebrews chapter 12. Worship team, you guys can go ahead and come forward. Starting in verse 22. But you have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. You have come to thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly, to the church of the firstborn, whose names are written in heaven. You have come to God, the judge of all, to the Spirit of the righteous made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. All right, there's a lot there, but let me just explain to you what matters here at the end. The blood of Abel screamed out judgment against Cain, but in this new covenant, the reason why it speaks a better word than the blood of Abel is because through the blood of Jesus, there is now a way for there to be no more condemnation or judgment. That's why it's better. Let me think about that. Abel's blood cried out judgment against Cain. And by the way, if you don't think that we are Cain in the story, you've missed it. We are so much more like Cain than we think, and especially as it pertains to deserving judgment. And yet, what Jesus did is he died the death that Cain deserved to die for killing Abel. And I don't know about you, but man, a God who steps off his throne and dies a death like a common Jewish criminal on my behalf to make a way for me to be with the Father forever, that's the kind of God that I want to get behind and put my faith in. And like we said last week, if we put our faith anywhere else, man, we're just missing it. Because he's the only one who's overcome death, overcome the grave in the first place. So as we leave here tonight, the challenge is very similar as it was last week. Where's your faith? Where's your faith? Is it in anything else but him? If so, squash those things, stamp those things out, and just place your faith in him and trust and know that he can handle that. He can handle your finances, your offerings, your resources, your time, your energy, all those things. So operate your whole life from the kingdom of God. And I guarantee you, he'll take care of you. He'll take care of you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the story. We thank you that every step of the way you are just, but you are also full of grace and mercy and kindness. And I pray that as Grace Meadows Church, I really pray that you would just have your way in everything in our lives. I mean, we want to operate everything from the kingdom of God, not our own kingdom. So God, would you be gracious in that way to reveal maybe there are some things, maybe there's some habits, some stuff in there that's not really of you. I pray in this moment that you would be so gracious as to reveal those things and not in a condemning way, because John 3:17 says that you came not to condemn the world, but to save it. And so I pray that you would reveal those things, that we would just hand those things back to you, knowing that they're in perfectly capable hands. And Father, if it's encouragement that's needed in this place, would you provide that too? Lift our spirits. Help us to live in that Galatians 5:1 that it is for freedom that you set us free, that help us to lean into that reality, that truth, as needed here tonight too. Father, above all, we just proclaim that you are good. You are loving and you are all-powerful. And we give you the praise you deserve. We love you very much. In Jesus' name, amen.